Hello, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica Bashada, and I am the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is a podcast, as you know, and also a blog. Today on the podcast, I have Erica Portillo of Ask Erica. Erica Portillo graduated from the University of Chicago with her master's in social work. She is a licensed clinical social worker, and she's been providing counseling to her clients for the past 10 years. She's currently an online therapist, which we'll discuss how the online aspect of it works in this episode, and she works for the company called BetterHelp. She specializes in anxiety, depression, relationships, career exploration, and self-esteem. Her passion is helping women find their inner strength in creating a balanced life. What we did in this episode is about 2 weeks ago, we both posted on our Instagrams asking people who followed us if they wanted to send in questions that we would address on this podcast episode in regards to mental and emotional health. And then we randomly selected 5 questions and we anonymously asked them in this episode. I don't think that I personally talk about mental or emotional health enough on my blog, but it's definitely an integral aspect of leading a balanced, healthy life. And I think there needs to be more recognition and support of it in all of our lives, and especially in this country right now. So it was definitely a great episode. I loved recording it. And I just want to touch on tonight's sponsor before we get started. And if you haven't heard me talk about them before, I promise you, you're going to hear me keep talking about them because they are one of my absolutely favorite brands, Casandrino's Olive Oil. I basically grew up in a household where we used olive oil for everything, literally. All of our pasta dishes had oil in them, our bread dip, even our baking recipes, I would use olive oil instead of vegetable oil or any other oils in like our brownie or cookie mix. And actually, my husband and I went to Greece over about a couple months ago, and we discovered olive oil and oregano oil are a good combination for curing colds. So now my husband insists on getting only the purest, the most organic olive oil, which is Casandrino's, to go with that oregano olive oil combination. So a little bit about the company. They handpick their olives from century-old trees located in Laconia, Greece, and all of their olives are pressed within 48 hours of harvest. They only sell the current year's harvest of olive oil as opposed to a lot of store-bought brands, which are often on the shelves for, 2-3 years. And obviously, the fresher the olive oil, the better. You can truly taste the difference between Casandrino's olive oil and other store-bought brands. Another reason that I really love Casandrino's olive oil is because it's a family-run business. Casandrino's was formed by Tony Casandrino's and his sister Effie in 2011. It all started when Tony started bringing his bottles of olive oil to his CrossFit gym. And over time, word built up with all the other foodies and everybody was asking for their own bottle to take home. In 3 short years, the company was shipping on a national level, and shortly thereafter, they started shipping globally and bringing Casandrino's to families all over the world. How awesome is that? It started out as a, small shop, just a brother and sister, and now, you can have Casandrino's anywhere in the world. You can find their products on Amazon or on their website, casandrinos.com. That's Casandrinos, CASANDRINOS.com. If you use the code Kombucha, you'll save an extra 10%. Thank you so much for supporting my podcast, Casandrinos. And without further ado, let's get into this great interview with Erica Portillo.
Thank you.
Hi, Erica, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. We have so many questions to go over today that it's a combination of your followers and my followers who sent them in. So I'm really excited to get started on that. But first, would you be able to tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you got into counseling?
Sure, I'd love to. So I really started to be drawn to counseling way back when, even in high school. I took my first psychology class and just fell in love with just the whole field and learning why people do what they do. And so that just sparked my interest. And also, I was always that person in the group, that friend that everyone would come to and ask for advice. So it's something that came very naturally to me. So I, you know, pursued it in college and got my master's. So I'm a licensed clinical social worker. And I've been practicing for about 10 years now. And I love it. It's so rewarding and it doesn't feel like work. So I feel like I definitely made the right choice for me.
I love that. So I also saw in your bio that you work for a company called BetterHelp, and it's an online company from what I understand. How does that work?
Yes. So it's an online counseling service, and it's great. It's super convenient for people, very accessible, and clients can talk with me on the phone, over Skype, or email. So it actually provides even more contact than you would get from seeing someone just once a week in their office for an hour, because they can email me whatever they want. So there's a lot of new counseling apps out there, Talkspace, BetterHelp. So I just love that it's making counseling more accessible for people. And it's been really great. I've been working there for about a year now.
I love that concept, because really sometimes people live in areas that are, you know, desolate, and they might be restricted to the home. Maybe they're sick or something. So that really allows them accessibility to great counselors like yourself. That's a really cool concept.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And I found too, a lot of people with high anxiety, they feel a lot more comfortable starting counseling in this way versus having to go talk to somebody face to face. So yeah, it's a great concept.
I love that. Okay. You ready to jump into these questions?
Yes. I'm so excited that we have a lot of great questions.
Okay. So the first one is sent in from one of my followers, and they asked for some mindfulness tips and some meditation tips for the busy girl.
Okay, great. Yeah, I love this question, especially because I base my practice around mindfulness, cognitive behavior therapy. That's my style. And basically, I'll kind of break that down because it sounds a little intimidating. But so essentially, cognitive behavior therapy is the study of how our thoughts are so powerful because we give them so much power, and how our thoughts impact our emotions, which in turn impact our behaviors. And so CBT allows you to learn how to take a step back, a minute to pause, and be objective rather than, you know, when we're in the emotion, it's very intense. And so we take that minute to think about the thoughts that are causing the emotion or the behavior, and you try to challenge it, because we give so much power to our thoughts when in actuality, they aren't necessarily based on fact. You know, sometimes our perspective is, it feels very real, but it's actually not even true at all. And that can come into play with a lot of anxious thoughts or self-critiquing thoughts. So that's kind of a little background on CBT. And then the mindfulness comes into play because, you know, that's exactly what we are trying to get people to do, is to be more present in the moment rather than letting these thoughts, you know, escalate. And, you know, then we get caught in that negative loop cycle. So I know mindfulness has been life-changing for me, and I encourage all of my clients to, even if they're a little intimidated by it, you know, they might say, oh, I could never sit still, you know, with my thoughts because my mind's constantly going, you know, 100 miles per hour. I'm like, well, then that's exactly why you need it, because it's a skill that you have to practice, and it takes time, like any new skill you're trying. But I think that end goal of learning to redirect your thoughts, not necessarily shut them off, because we can't. Our brains are machines. They don't shut off. But just to learn to redirect them so you can be present in the moment, it works really well. So for the busy girl, I think, you know, there's so many hacks you can use. Like, there's so many apps that are amazing. I personally love Insight Timer. It's one of my favorites. Have you tried that one?
No, I haven't. What is that? How does it work?
I really like it because it gives you so many options. You just type in whatever you need for that day. Like, maybe you need self-compassion or a morning meditation, or maybe you're having a hard time falling asleep, so you would type in nighttime meditation. And then you get to choose, and they're rated. And the other great thing is you can put in the amount of time that you have. So let's say you're super short on time, you have 10 minutes. They have, you know, so many that could meet that need. And you can just pop in your headphones and listen on your commute to work, like if you maybe take the train. Or when I used to work in an office environment as a case manager, I would meditate during my lunch break. Just pop in my headphones and take a walk.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah, yeah. And a little side note, how I got into meditation was because working in an office environment, obviously everyone knows, can be stressful. Mm-hmm. And a girl that another social worker started a meditation group. And so we would go into the conference room during our lunch and meditate together. And it was awesome. And it just gave me that sense of calm but yet energized. I kind of looked at it as a power nap. And so you can try to be resourceful and fit in your time to meditate whenever you can. Even if it's a short amount of time, it's better than nothing. So I think even if you're super busy, there's definitely ways to incorporate it in your life.
Definitely. It was funny before when you were saying that, it immediately brought me to that quote, you should sit in meditation 20 minutes a day, unless you're too busy, then you should sit in it for an hour.
Yes, I love that one.
So I have to ask you, because before we started, your computer or phone, I'm not sure which one, started ringing, and then you quickly told me that it was part of your mindfulness app. So can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So it's actually a Chrome extension. So you just add it onto your computer. It's free and it's called the Mindfulness Bell. And you can set it for whatever amount of time you'd like to go off. So I set my bell to go off every 20 minutes. And when it goes off, it's a reminder for me to take a deep breath and just pause, which at first, I was very hesitant because I thought, oh my gosh, every 20 minutes, that's going to be annoying while I'm working. But in actuality, I love it because you get so enthralled in what you're doing. It gives you a second to just breathe. And I really recommend it.
It's like those simple reminders are really so, I don't want to say life-changing, but they're game changers for your day. They really help you just like shift your focus and settle back in and really gather yourself.
Absolutely. And I thought about too that I'm doing this throughout the day rather than, you know, usually I would just meditate for, let's say, 20 minutes in the morning or, you know, 30 minutes at night. But it's kind of nice that I have this continually throughout the day. And I am noticing some benefits. Just with keeping a little bit more sense of calm. So yeah, I recommend everybody at least try it.
I think those are really great tips. I like that. Okay, so question number two. How do you deal with family and their opinions when you're having a baby? And I guess that could also go for after you have your baby. I feel like so many people deal with, like, monster-in-laws or, you know, sisters, aunts, brothers, cousins, neighbors that, you know, want to tell you what you should do with your baby and how you should raise it. And, you know, everybody has their own opinion. So how do you deal with that diverse group of opinions without insulting anybody or, you know, causing more problems and conflict?
Right. Such a good question. And I have to say it's very pertinent for me personally because I am 8.5 months pregnant.
Yay!
But I think you're right. You know, people get excited when they hear you're having a baby and they want to share. They want to share their opinions and their advice, their lessons learned. And they want to be a part of it. And so I think most of them have good intentions. And, you know, you want to remember that they just want to be useful. And they're trying to share things that they've learned along the way as a mother.
Right.
But you're right. Sometimes it can cross over into, you know, an area where you feel that your boundaries are being crossed. And so I think what's really key is when you do feel that someone is maybe, you know, just being overbearing with their opinions and maybe more so telling you what to do rather than just offering some advice, then I think it's best to really take a look at your boundaries and what you need to do to set some clear, firm limits. So boundaries are, you know, what we will not accept and also our expectations of what we do expect and what we need in a relationship. So if you feel like you said, if there's a family member who is really being kind of overbearing with their opinions and you feel like they're more so telling you how to deal with your pregnancy or raise your child, then you need to take a look at, you know, when that's occurring. So you can ask yourself, okay, when do I start feeling a little anxious or when do I feel angry or uncomfortable? They're probably crossing one of your boundaries then. And so when that happens, you know, you need to reflect on a little bit and think, okay, what do I need to do, you know, in order to have my needs met? And then also, you know, how can I have this conversation with them? So like you said, you don't ruin the relationship because obviously they're family.
Right.
And you care about them. So a lot of times people struggle with this because they don't like conflict. They're afraid to say no. They're afraid to speak up, especially when it comes to family. But I do think there's a way to go about it where you're still being respectful, but you're still honoring, you know, your voice as well. So the first step is identifying what are your boundaries and where are they crossing them? And then what you need, what your expectations are, you know, what you need that to look like. So for instance, let's say, you know, they're giving their opinion about, you know, maybe, let's say, nutrition with the baby, and you just don't feel comfortable with that. So something you could say is, you know, I hear your opinion and I appreciate it, but I feel confident about my decision. So it's really all about the way you word it and the tone. So a lot of times we're just not used to maybe having those kinds of conversations, but I think if you really want to save the relationship or just not be miserable, you know, with them telling you how to raise your child, it's such a personal thing. And so I think as long as they know that you're hearing them, you value their opinion, but you need to do what you feel is best for you and your child. Hopefully they will accept that. Now, sometimes they won't. And, you know, they might get upset or feel offended. And that's okay. They are entitled to their feelings and their opinions. But it also doesn't mean that you need to sway on your boundaries, because you are just as entitled to, you know, your opinions and how you decide to raise your baby. So, yeah, it can be a little touchy subject, I'm sure. But with any relationship, boundaries are essential.
I love that you also addressed not only the perfect response, but how they may react, and it's okay. I feel like so often, you know, sometimes you set your boundaries with family members and, you know, their reaction might be upset or hurt, and then you feel guilty. And you're right, you shouldn't be swayed. Like, if this is how you choose to raise your child, then, you know, that's your decision, and you have to honor that, just as you, you know, reiterated.
Absolutely. And it'll help build your confidence in yourself and in speaking up for yourself. And it will also just allow them to see, you know, it allows them also then to realize that, okay, this is where she stands, and we teach other people how to treat us, right? So through those boundaries, it helps them to understand as well that, okay, you know, this is where she stands on this issue of nutrition, and I really can't say anything else about it. Like, it's kind of hopefully then a done issue.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. But yeah, so there's different forms of boundaries. You know, there's porous boundaries, which are when we have weak boundaries. And like you said, where we're easily swayed, we don't say no. We're just trying to, you know, accommodate other people. And then the opposite would be rigid boundaries, where we kind of put up a wall and we don't let people in. So we really want to strive to be in that middle place of balance and having healthy boundaries. And a big part of that is not being afraid to speak up for what you need and what you want, and especially when it comes to what you want for your baby.
Yeah, that's definitely great advice. I love that.
Thanks.
Okay, now I have another question that was sent in, and it kind of also goes off of the mom genre. How do you get over the guilt when you do something for yourself? I always struggle with feeling guilty if I'm not putting my family first. So I guess that definitely touches on, you know, hashtag mom guilt, how they're always taking care of everybody else. And, you know, they can't even sneak away for that pedicure. And if they do, they feel guilty. They should be home with the baby or, you know, whatnot. So what are some of your suggestions for dealing with that?
Yeah, I think this is such a common issue. And, you know, I think that it's, I mean, of course, you want to make your family a priority. And that's a wonderful thing. But also, you have to keep in mind that when you don't have a balanced life, when something is, you know, kind of lacking or out of whack, then that is going to trickle into all areas of your life. And so I feel like, you know, if you're putting, and this could go be true for even if you're, let's say you're a workaholic and you're putting all of your time and energy into work and you're not putting any time into your, you know, let's say your social life or just your mental well-being, you're going to suffer the consequences. And so the same kind of goes for putting all of your energy and time and attention on just your family, which, again, a wonderful thing to prioritize, but it's also important to take some time for yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself first, how are you able to fully or effectively take care of other people? You know, if you're drained, you're tired, you're not feeling fulfilled, then I feel like it's really hard for you to be effective at fully being, you know, being present even with, you know, with your family, with your children or your husband. So my blog, especially the biggest focus is to create a balanced life. And definitely something I focus on with my clients as well, because overall, I think you're just more fulfilled, and then you're going to raise your energy and feel so much better and more present when you are with your children or your family. So, you know, let's say for instance, you decide to take that weekend trip with your girlfriends and you know, your husband's watching your kids, but you still feel guilty. You still feel like, okay, I'm doing this for me, but I should be home with them. I'm being selfish. So again, this is where you're going to want to challenge those thoughts, and because that's what's causing the guilt, right? The thoughts of, I'm being selfish, I should be at home. And kind of circling back to what I mentioned earlier with this whole idea of CBT, you pause and you take a step back and you think, okay, let's look at the evidence here. You know, am I being selfish? I haven't taken a trip with my girlfriends in, you know, let's say maybe not ever, or in a really long time since you had children. So, you know, that doesn't really have credibility. I should be home with them. Again, challenge that thought. Maybe say to yourself, it's okay for me to have a little time for me, because then I'm going to come back feeling so refreshed and so much more just excited and present as a mom. So try to challenge any thoughts that are kind of causing that guilt. And also have a little self-compassion for yourself. You know, think about, okay, what would I tell my friend if she came to me and said, I'm so guilty about going to get my nails done. You know, what might you tell her? You'd probably say, stop being so hard on yourself. Go do something for you and enjoy it. So try to use that same inner compassion and kindness on yourself, because we are all so way too hard on ourselves.
I totally agree. We're definitely our own worst critic.
Yeah.
Even like not being a mom, I feel that way. I feel like sometimes I like look at my blog and my podcast and I'm working and people are like, oh my gosh, you're doing so much. I'm like, am I? I don't really feel like I am. Like I'm struggling here, I'm struggling there. And you're right. Like, I think we all need to have more self-compassion and kind of, you know, like you said, what would you tell a friend? Like, talk to yourself like you would be talking to your little sister or, you know, whoever you love and care about. Yeah, I really like that advice. That's really helpful.
Good. Yeah, so true. And I use the term a lot on my blog of silencing your inner mean girl.
Ooh.
That's that self-critiquing voice that is always nagging us and saying, I didn't get enough done today. I should have been more productive. Why don't I have 10,000 followers on Instagram?
Are you in my head right now, Erica?
so many of us feel that way. And we have to really make a conscious effort to silence that voice and give ourselves some credit each day. Hey, what did I do well today? You know, what am I grateful for? How am I growing? That's actually a little three-question daily reflection that I tell my clients, because I find that they are so hard on themselves and they are such perfectionists and, you know, they don't really give themselves credit. And it's something we all do. It's something I do too. And so just those three little questions, I think, can really help you put things in perspective at the end of the day. And it takes like maybe 5 minutes to just ask yourself, okay, what is something I did well today, even if it's really small? What's something I'm grateful for, even if it's small? And then what am I learning and or how am I growing? So, if you're kind of suffering from that mean girl, I would try to do that little daily reflection at the end of the night.
I love that. I'm definitely going to include that in the show notes too, so everybody can revisit that.
Okay, great.
So our next question kind of goes back to the boundaries that we were talking about. One of the listeners wanted to know, how do you protect your energy around family members who suffer with depression and alcoholism?
Yeah, that's such a hard one, because when it comes to family, we're so intertwined and we love so deeply and we don't want to see them hurting. So I think this is kind of twofold when it comes to boundaries. We have to not only set boundaries with them, because we do have to protect our energy, but also we have to set some boundaries with ourselves when we want to sweep up, you know, sweep in and fix all of their problems. So let's talk about first setting boundaries with them, because it's true. You know, everybody is made up of energy. And, you know, when you're going through such a, you know, a very difficult disorder like depression or alcoholism, your energy is going to be pretty low. And so if you are constantly around that family member, it's going to be draining. It might, you know, leave you feeling kind of, you know, down yourself. And so you might have to set some boundaries on your time, your energy, you know, your attention that you spend with them. So let's say, you know, they are crossing your boundary by maybe calling and just unloading on you every day. And it just takes so much out of you because you leave that conversation feeling exhausted and upset. That's, you know, that's not healthy for you either, even though you're trying to support them. And so it's important to set some boundaries because you don't want to enable them either. So again, you would follow those same steps we talked about, you know, regarding the other question with family. You know, identify what your boundaries are, what's making you feel uncomfortable, or causing you stress, and you know, what do you need out of this relationship? You know, so for that example, if they're constantly calling you and venting, you might want to say to them, you know what, I want to be here to support you, but I can't spend, you know, hours every day talking to you. Like I have, you know, I have a lot of other responsibilities, and but I would love to talk with you. You know, let's get together twice a week so we can talk. But also, too, you want to tell them that you want them to be solution focused. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily say it in that term, but sometimes when we just focus on the problem, we stay in that low energy place. And so you might want to talk to them about let's raise the energy and let's talk about some solutions. You know, how can we, or how can you change this? You know, what steps can you take? What small steps? So I think setting boundaries with them is good because, like I said, then it's not enabling their behavior, and then you don't feel so just exhausted, emotionally exhausted. And again, it goes back to if you are, you know, pouring from an empty cup, you're not really able to help them anyways. So the next part, though, is that you sometimes have to set boundaries with yourself because these are family members who you love and care about, you know, you're going to stress out over it, and you want to do everything you can to help them. But as we know, we cannot change other people. We cannot change their behaviors unless that has to be a decision they want. And so sometimes we have to set the boundaries with ourselves that we need to just allow them to solve their own problems, that we can be here as a support. But it's not our job to pick up all the pieces. You know, they have to want to do that for themselves. And I think that's a really hard thing for a lot of people to do. I know myself included. So sometimes you have to ask, okay, am I overstepping, you know, my own boundaries here? So, yeah, so it's a really tough situation, but I think that's the way you can really address it the most effectively and really be helpful to them.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one. I feel like there is, I mean, you're right. Like, the only thing you really can do is just honor your boundaries and create boundaries for them. I mean, that's a really tough one, and I really like the advice you gave for that. It actually really spoke to me, so thank you for that. Okay, so the next question that we have that somebody sent in was, I'm healing from love addiction, codependent relationships. My thoughts are, how do we do this? Do we completely take men off the table and focus on self-love for a period of time? Or do we practice balance? When life has been all black and white, when it comes to relationships, dating can turn so toxic when you rely on someone to be your oxygen mask, meaning they become your life support. What is your advice in regards to this?
I love her analogy about using someone as your oxygen mask. That's powerful. So I would say, if you are not currently in a relationship, but you know that you have these issues to work on, you know, being codependent, then I definitely would not seek out a relationship for the time being. I would really try to focus on yourself and trying to, you know, work on your personal development and figure out, okay, why do I have these ingrained beliefs and needs to be so dependent on someone? You know, where is this coming from? So get to the root of your issues. And, you know, that might require counseling, or just, you know, reading some self-help books or just doing some self-reflection. And so I think during that time period, I wouldn't necessarily recommend dating at that point. You know, focus on yourself and bettering yourself, because I really believe that once you start working on your personal development, you raise your energy, you become, you know, just more confident and more fulfilled, and then you're going to start attracting the right kind of people into your life. You know, I think if you maybe do it prematurely, you might find yourself in another kind of toxic relationship, because you might still be attracting the same kind of people. And you yourself might be still engaging in those codependent behaviors. So I say, take the time to focus on you, and I think you'll be so much better off. You know, you can then really go into a relationship feeling confident that you can have, you know, your own separate identity, not just based solely on this other person. So I would say, you know, and it's kind of, you know, people get very negative about being single, but it's really the one time in your life where you can just focus on you and be so independent and follow your passion projects, travel, spend time with your friends. You know, I think there's so many benefits to it that aren't necessarily focused on. And, you know, sometimes we just have to be a little patient that we will then find the right person when the timing's right. A hard lesson I had to learn myself, but I really realized that, you know, you have to trust the timing of your life. You can't try to, you know, desperately try to force something or rush it. You kind of have to let things work out the way they're supposed to. But yeah, as far as if you know you have a history of being codependent, I would say definitely take the time to work on yourself. So then when you get into that next relationship, you can create that balance that, you know, that she was talking about, that is so essential in a relationship. So
with that being said, you know, like you're saying, they should really focus on self-love. Do you have any recommendations for any self-love books or podcasts that you recommend?
Yes, I do. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I really believe that the three S's are the foundation of mental well-being. And the three S's are self-love, self-care, and self-compassion. And I actually am reading a really good book. A client and I are both reading it, and then we discuss it. And it's called The Self-Love Experiment by Shannon Kaiser. And it's awesome because it's very kind of fun and easy to read because she talks about her life and her experience dealing with, you know, she had a major weight loss that she underwent. She always struggled with her weight, and she never loved herself. And she realized that she was abusing her body, taking it out on her body because she felt so unworthy and unlovable. And so this epiphany, you know, really helped her to find out the true meaning of what self-love is. And it's a really great read. I definitely recommend it. She has a lot of great points and quotes. I think for anyone who's struggling, like we talked about, you know, with that inner mean girl that just truly wants to figure out what self-love is all about, because, you know, it's a very overused term, right?
And it definitely is.
People realize. And I don't think people realize that it's not a place you get to, but it's actually a choice. And so we all have that power within us right now to make that choice. But it's so hard because of all the barriers we put in our own way. You know, well, when I lose 10 pounds, then I can love myself. Or when I get that promotion, you know, or whatever it is that is delaying your happiness, or that you're basing your self-worth on. According to, you know, Shannon, all that needs to go out the window. And you just need to accept yourself exactly where you are and exactly who you are right now. And that's, you know, it's a hard choice, but it is a choice that we can all make. So
that's really great advice, because I feel like that's applicable to everyone. I mean, Absolutely. Even just like having a blog, or, you know, you're like, oh, I'll be so happy when I reach 5,000 followers or 10,000 followers. And I just think that is just so relatable to everybody, that you shouldn't be delaying your happiness for these like superficial, you know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, or, you know, once I reach 10K and et cetera.
Well, right. And the human condition is, once we reach that, then we want something more. Once we reach 10K, then we want 15 and then we want 20. So, you know, and that's okay. I mean, we are always striving to be better and do better, which is not a bad thing. But if you are beating yourself up along the way, you know, using negative reinforcement to motivate yourself, that's where the issue comes in, because, you know, then you're never allowing yourself to just celebrate your successes.
That's such a great reminder.
Now, on the flip side, if you use positive reinforcement to motivate yourself, you make the process so much easier, and you probably get the same results. So why not make it more fun and just a more positive and loving experience for yourself? So I think that's a really big turning point when people shift from kind of, like I said, beating themselves up along the way versus just showing themselves up that love, that self-compassion and kindness. They realize, actually, I can enjoy the process and still reach my goals. So I encourage people to try approaching it from that strategy, from that approach. And hopefully they're going to find it to be just so much more beneficial.
Definitely. I love that. I keep saying I love that, but I really do. I feel like all of your advice is so sound, and you really know how to relay how you should be treating yourself just so much more gently. Like, go easy on yourself.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
So I do have one more question for you, and I didn't prepare you for this, so I apologize. What is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, and I will say I am really missing it now that I'm pregnant and I can't drink it. I was actually at Whole Foods over the weekend with my husband, and they had the kombucha on tap, and I was like, oh, I really want that. So definitely when I, after I have my baby, that and sushi will be, well, and wine will be my go-to's. I've tried a really awesome one at a restaurant. I think it was like a strawberry basil.
You're the second person to say that.
Okay. What's your favorite? I'll have to, because I don't know too much about it, to be honest.
I like the Holiday Cheers version from Health Aid. They only have it during the holidays, but it's so good. You definitely have to try that one once you're not pregnant.
Yeah. It's on my list.
So where can everybody find you? What are your social media handles? And if they want to seek out your advice and your counseling, where can they find you as well?
If you're interested in following me on Instagram, my handle is Ask Erica, and that's with a C, just like yours. And my website is ask-erica.com.
Awesome.
So I really hope, if anybody has a question that they would like answered, feel free to message me. There is a spot on my blog that says ask, and you can ask your question, and I will answer it anonymously on the blog. And so, yeah, don't hesitate. Feel free to reach out. I'm happy to share, hopefully some new insight on an old problem that you've been dealing with.
That's so kind of you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I feel like your responses were so beneficial, and there are so many people who are going to reap the benefits of it.
Oh, thank you. And it was an honor. I love your blog, and tuning in, because I just don't know a whole lot about non-toxic products, especially having a baby. I'm so interested. So I love what you do, and your passion is so evident. It's contagious.
Aw, so, what a compliment. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.